This is a Floating Voter Budget Special in association with EY Ireland.
Hello, I'm Kevin Doyle, and this is the Floating Voter, independent.ie's political podcast. Today, with just 24 hours to go on to Pascal Donoghue's first budget as the all-powerful finance minister, we look at what could be on the cards and what it might mean for the wider economy. Here with us today, we have Niall O'Connor and Philip Ryan, as always, but we're delighted to be joined also because this pre-budget special is in association with Ernst & Young by Sarah Connellan. Sorry, Sarah, I got that wrong already. Personal tax partner with EY. And Michael Dawson, Group CEO and founder of One For All Group. You're very welcome.
Good morning.
You know what you've left yourself in for?
Thanks, Kevin.
I want to start with Niall and Philip, though, because Philip, Pascal Donoghue and Leo Varadkar have been talking up this Republic of Opportunities. They've been talking up the balanced budget. They've been talking up welfare hikes. They've been talking up tax cuts. There's a lot of talking up and very little money at the back of it. So are people going to... What's the politics as we stand here?
Well, the politics around it seems to be that they have made all these commitments. And there's a lot of expectation after years of austerity that people will have tax cuts, they will see benefits increase. But like at the same time, because of the rules that are set out by the EU and this ambition to balance the books, the public is being sold a bit of a pup on this in that they will have to raise taxes along with cutting taxes and increasing benefits. And that really hasn't been put out there by them. They're suggesting that the bill that they're looking for benefits is insane, the amount that they want to spend on this, $450 million if everybody is given something. And there's never been any reason put forward to why we need to put up all these benefits or why that has to happen in this budget. Like, no one has actually told us, why does the pension have to go up this year?
Because there's going to be an election soon enough.
Like, that's all it is. That's the only reason. Why does welfare have to go up? Why do... What are the other benefits?
But do you want a tax cut?
I want a tax cut, but there is a reason for tax cuts, and they give reasons for taxes because tax cuts makes us more of a competitive country. And people can earn a bit more and we can attract doctors to come back and nurses to come back and all that. But... on the other side of it, I haven't heard a reason why, except people would like more money.
Noel, the Willie O'Dea argument from last year was the pensioners deserve a break. They've been through a tough time, no more than anybody else. Fine Gael's response to that was, well, we can't leave anybody behind. We have to give it to everyone else. So is it not fair enough that a fiver here and there should spread wide?
Well, see, where I differ with Philip is that he's focusing on one particular area, for example, the pension. What Regina Doherty is very much keen to do in her budget of social protection is saying, well, I'm not leaving anyone behind. So all these cuts that have affected the lone parents and the carers, we know you went through a real difficult time. We're trying to give you something back, right? So that's the narrative of the spending. On the tax side, this is a budget that the government want to really sit well with the psyche of the coping classes of the young professionals, people like people around the table here who decided not to emigrate during the recession. A lot of the listeners as well decided not to emigrate during the recession. But what is happening now for the first time, it's a very, and it would be interesting to hear Sarah's view in a minute about the whole tax bans thing, but they're finally doing something they've never done. They're changing the point at which you begin to pay the higher rate of tax. That has a big impact on the psyche. It suggests that we're living in a slightly better and fairer Ireland than we did a number of years ago.
Okay, well, let's bring Sarah in there because, Sarah, you're our guru on this one now, so you can enlighten us. We listen to the politics and the guff of it all. What's really bugging me about this budget is this small semi-row between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, because Fine Gael want to widen the tax band, the point at which we come in at that 40% rate of tax. Fianna Fáil want to stick to cutting the USC, the much hated in inverted commas USC. Doesn't matter which they do. Is it not the same thing, just a different way of doing it?
I think to your point, Kevin, it's about politics again. So if you widen the standard rate cutoff point, the entry level to go into 40% at 33,800, you're going to hit the lower earners. And if you reduce the USC, you're going to give benefits to the middle income earners. So you're going to broad spectrum. The reality is we have a 52% marginal tax rate. It's not competitive. competitive at all with any other jurisdiction even close to us. The entry level in the UK is 47%, or sorry, the top line rate in the UK is 47%, and the entry level is about 150,000 sterling to get to that 47%, whereas our entry level to the 40% rate is 33,800. So we are not competitive. Really, I think what we need to see is some kind of a roadmap that the government set out, that at a point in time, okay, we mightn't do it this year, but at a point in time, we will reduce our top line rates because we can't compete with other jurisdictions the way they are.
What is it down to, though? Is it to do with population size? Is it to
It's down to politics, in my view, to be honest.
No, but the fact that we have to have such an early entry point to the top
rate. It's down to the exchequer levels that we're taking.
Yeah, we can't. Like, there's not enough people to raise more money.
No,
Exactly.
And if you look at the tax take on income tax and PRSI, sorry, income tax in the USC at this point in time, it represents 40% of the total tax take in Ireland. So it's huge. They can't make that reduction in one fell swoop. Mm. So really what you'd like to see is some kind of a roadmap that there will be a reduction at a point in time. The suggestions that they're making at the moment, it'll net people an extra €20 per month, which, you know, for the squeeze middle, absolutely it benefits. For those in the lower levels, probably benefit more, but it's not significant.
No, we're looking. What are we looking at? A fiver? Based on what we know and the leaks we've been writing about us over the last fortnight or so, we're looking at about a fiver a week, aren't we? Really?
I think so. About €20 a month is the estimates that have been thrown out there. Which, you know, okay.
That's not going to encourage anyone to hop sticks from London and move to Dublin for
no,
a job, is
no.
it?
But they can't make that big change very quickly because the exchequer levels from the personal taxes are so high. They just can't possibly do it. Especially when you mentioned, Philip, about, you know, the increases in the social welfare. They have to fund that some way. And they have to do that by the taxes on labour, really.
Do they have to do it?
They don't have to do the increases.
No, but they do have to fund it from somewhere.
No, they have to fund it, but do they have to do it, do you think?
I don't necessarily think they do have to do it, no.
And it's the funding that's the important part. I mean, let's not make the same mistakes as we made before by giving away millions and millions of pounds that we don't actually have. So, I mean, I think really what they need to concentrate on is, you know, is where the money is coming from. And the money is generated from business, from the small and medium-sized businesses and the international
business. I was going to make that point, Michael, because it's very much, and reading the stuff Philip had in the Sunday Independent yesterday, it's very much... The workers are getting a little bit back, but it seems all these tax-raising measures, that the stealth taxes, are all on business. We're looking at an increase in PRSI to fund the National Training Fund. We're looking at, well, commercial property sales. We're looking at sugar taxes. It all seems to come back on the business this time around, which the ordinary worker is probably okay with, but
well,
you guys probably not.
Well, we're not, certainly not. Business is not ready for this yet. I mean, businesses, you know, or many of them had only just got their heads above water when we've seen the tsunami of Brexit coming down our tracks. And we don't even know what that's all about yet, because nobody knows, so we don't know what effect that's going to have on us. So we have a big sort of belt and braces costs attached to preparing for what we actually don't know. Is it a Y2K all over again? Probably not. It's going to be a lot worse. But so at this particular time when we have to have huge increases in our own costs, we have government continually just loading on additional costs and additional red tape. I mean, alone just in our own company, we have, for example, with the amount of compliance that we have to keep up with now, we've two people. Now, two equivalent people, full-time employed, just looking after things that we actually never did wrong in the first place.
Just regulations, isn't
regulations,
it?
Which we were always adhered to, and we have a fantastic reputation, but now we have two people there to
That's
tell
us. That's not necessarily a budget problem, though,
it's
is
a
it?
Budget problem for us, because it's an additional cost of maybe £200,000 a year.
Do you think we should go back to light touch regulation?
No, I think we should come back to smart regulation. Right. Not light touch regulation, right. Absolutely not, but smart regulation. And what the government have... a habit of doing is just taking everything that's thrown at them, say from EU regulations. We like to be, we've always had this reputation of being the great Europeans, so, you know, tell us, give us 100% of the new regulations and we'll take 120%, you know, and we'll be the best Europeans. Whereas our neighbours who we have to compete with across the water in the UK, you know, they don't take those, they take the regulations, and they have, you know, long before Brexit was ever announced, they would take the regulations, they would dissect them and say, no, we'll take this, we'll transpose this into law, but we won't transpose that into law, and we'll change. So we have different regulations right now in the UK than we have here in Ireland to operate under.
I think to Micah's point, though, in terms of, so we've two things going on, we need to, you know, support foreign investment in Ireland, which we do quite well, and we have a very favourable corporate tax regime, but we need to support our own and our own entrepreneurs and our own small businesses. And there are far too many differences in terms of the tax treatment of those employed versus self-employed. You know, the earned income credit is lower than the POI credit. PRSI levels are higher.
Yeah, just explain that. The earned income credit is, it's $1,650, am I right, for a PAYE worker, and it's only $950 for a self-employed.
Exactly.
Leo Varadkar has talked a lot about wanting to help self-employed, about wanting to equalise that. Now, we're hearing anything that the credit could be raised by 150 to
but
300
it's
euro.
Not, it's but still not strong enough. So the self-employed individual doesn't have all the social welfare benefits that an employed individual has. The entry level for PRSI is 5,000 versus 18,000 if you're an employee. The USC, there's a surcharge of 3% if your income is over 100,000 euro. Like, that's really, really ridiculous, and it doesn't support any individual being an entrepreneur or having their own business.
Do you think, like you're talking about, Michael, about our regulations, we're too regulation heavy. You're talking about our taxes not great over here as well. And we see that there's new taxes supposedly coming in on multinationals. Do you think we risk losing our brand as being an international tax haven with some of these new measures that are being brought in?
I think we do. I think our headline rate, so our corporate tax regime is very, very strong.
Yeah.
Okay, and that has held its own, and it's great to have that. Personal tax rates, as I said, are far too high. We do have a very favourable expat regime, which is called the Special Assignment Relief Programme, which is really, really favourable. But it only...
SARP, yeah.
It only benefits those whose income is over 75,000 euro, and it really only benefits those who are insignificant earners. So it does attract the really big hitters to Ireland, but not the lower paid workers.
I think if you talk to any of the Indigenous companies here, they'll wonder what you're talking about when you say, you know, their
tax haven.
You have to be from abroad to get Yeah, exactly. You have to go away and come back. I mean, you know, a typical example of that, and this is where, you know, government really needs to take cognizance of the fact that there's a generation change now. In my generation, there was a loyalty to stay in Ireland, to pay your taxes in Ireland, to work in Ireland and create business in Ireland. Now we've got a much more mobile generation. So if they go across to the UK, for example, and set up a business in the UK right now, when they're exiting that business, they're going to pay one tax on the first 10% on the first £10 million of the profit of that company, the earnings, the value of that company. Whereas here in Ireland, you will pay 10% on the first million, and then it goes up to 33% thereafter. Even afterwards in the UK, it goes down to 20% on anything over 10 million, where here it remains at 33%. So, I mean, it's just completely uncompetitive.
Companies, small and medium ones based here, feel like second-class citizens sometimes when they see the way the government treats US companies and international tech companies.
No, I never like to sort of look at a dem and us situation. The answer to your question is quite frankly yes.
But now I'm going to qualify
but
that.
I will qualify that by saying, look, you know, I mean, many of us businesses in the SME, we all depend on the multinationals as well. We all service them. We all have contracts, agreements with them. So, no, look, it's very, very important to have them work. But what we would ask is that, look, we're not left behind. Because the focus is always on the international companies. And quite frankly, we, the SMEs, are employing far, far greater numbers of people. Mm. And we're the people who will stay here, you know, during the hard times, and the people who have stayed here during the hard times. So really what I'm saying on the taxation for our entrepreneurs is we got to just... We can't expect miracles overnight, and again, you know, it's not there to be given out. But we have to be careful that we're not going to lose these businesses to the UK. And the UK now, after Brexit, are going to become even more competitive than they have been heretofore. So, you know, there's a greater risk even now than ever before that the younger generation, the millennials, you know, it's just much easier for them to hop across. It's only an hour, like an hour. Derry or Newry is an hour away from Dublin, you know, so we can go set up your company there and you'll be far better off.
I think we need a balance, though, because if you look at the stats, I mean, 80% of our corporation tax take is from the multinationals. So we can't forget that, but we do need a balance in supporting our own as well.
Niall, one of the headline-grabbing ones when it comes to taxation is the sugar tax. Now, it's not going to come in till April because they want to match it in with the with what's happening in the UK. But something struck me recently talking to Simon Harris about this. The Department of Finance and the Department of Health have two very different takes on what the sugar tax should achieve. The Department of Finance want loads of money. The Department of Health want people to stop buying sugary drinks, and they want the various companies to reduce, to reformulate their content. Who's going to win that battle, or does it matter?
Well, it does matter, and the lack of consistency is actually concerning. And you were talking about Brexit and the border and the fact that we want this budget to be a Brexit-proof budget. But if we are going to introduce this sugar tax, firstly, we should say, let's look at what's going on in the north at the moment. Although this has been a tax that's been announced from London by the Chancellor, there is no government in the north at the moment, and there's no indication in the foreseeable future that was going to be a Stormont up and running. So given that there's all this talk that the sugar tax could lead to smuggling across the border, and I think that's a very, very important point. And it needs to be consistency. And I don't know, there's no evidence yet that there's been proper discussions between London, Dublin and Belfast, even though there's no one to answer the phone in Belfast, that this particular this particular tax is going to work. And I would throw up an air of caution here about this tax. It sounds great. We all want to cut down on childhood obesity and particularly in schools, and there's other measures, there's other ways you can do that. But I think we need to be very cautious of something that on paper sounds great, but in relation to its implementation, we don't know what's going to
happen. Let them know that you're kind of two can a day of Coke, man.
No, in fact, I drink plenty of coffee and with a spoon of sugar, but I don't drink Coke. But it is, it is something that I think we need to be cautious of. Just going back to something Michael was saying there, and to talk about regulation, Brexit is going to result in far more costs for small businesses in relation to regulation. And I think if we were to take the approach that you're basically saying, Philip, which is and its approach that, say, Sinn Féin often spout. So let's forget about tax cuts. Let's forget about spending
I didn't say forget about
increases.
Tax cuts.
Let's just put the whole WAD, the whole fiscal space, let's use it all and throw it into housing, throw it into one big item like health. The one big item that we should be throwing the amount of money available into Brexit and preparing these businesses to deal with Brexit, helping them build contingency plans. There's talk that we're not going to set up our own rainy day fund until 2019. We need to be helping
but
these
by
businesses.
By reducing personal taxes, you make Ireland more
helping these
competitive
businesses set up
Brexit.
Rainy day
That's
funds. Businesses like Michael's and others. And by the way, what is happening today in the UK in the fact that we're hearing that Theresa May could be ousted within weeks, that Brussels are now dealing with Jeremy Corbyn because they believe Labour are going to take over. These are things that actually should be shaping the budget down here. I don't know whether they are.
Okay, well, that was quite a little monologue, wasn't it?
Well, I was
anyway, my question was about sugar tax.
Can I just come to sugar tax?
I was going to come
just
to Michael.
Comparing my views with those of Sinn Féin, I think just for the record.
No one would ever accuse you of that, Phil. Michael, I do want to bring it back today. We'll come back to Brexit in a second, but on the sugar tax.
Sweeter things.
Yeah, on the sugar tax, Michael.
Okay, on the sugar tax, I think what Niall is saying there is a huge concern. I mean, the disparity between the Minister for Finance and the Minister for Health is really crazy. This was mooted as a health issue, and it is a health issue, and research shows us now that unlike ever before, that sugar is really, really bad for us, and we need to reduce a considerable amount of sugar. So that said, let's do it. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a tax. There is already a tax on sugar products because, you know, you've got your VAT, but leaving that aside... But
you're in favour?
Oh, absolutely in favour.
I didn't expect that. Okay.
No, okay.
Let's go with this.
Why am I in favour? Because it's we've seen before, for example, when the tax on plastic bags came in, you know, we all said, oh dear, golly, and all sorts of bad words. Mm. But it was fantastic. I mean, it has been a revenue point of view, no. And that's what made it successful, because it didn't raise the revenue, but it did clear the plastic bags away from our ditches. And we all got over it and nobody died. So it was really, really successful. But and likewise, I would say with the...
But it's a few cent on a can of Coke.
No. I'd like to see a little bit more than a few cent. Yeah. Because, sorry, Niall, if you're two can a day. But I would say, what I would like to see is, I'd like them to go to the whole hog. And here's a sort of a suggestion that's a pretty maybe unique and it hasn't been done in the UK. But if you're going to tax sweet products, then remove the VAT off the non-sweet products.
So I knew there'd be a sting in here somewhere. I knew so it wasn't as simple as that.
So let's have a serious gap in the prices. So when I walk into my local store, I can see non-sweet products are costing me €1. Sweet products are costing me €2. So there's a big if we're serious about doing this, and we're serious about eliminating the amount of sweet products that are in our stores and that we're consuming, then make it worthwhile. We never done this when it came to drinking and soft drinks and trying to reduce the amount of alcohol and driving. There was always campaigns that were, look, take the VAT off soft drinks in the pubs and encourage people that they don't have to pay twice as much for a pint of Coke as they do for a pint of beer. We never done that. But now maybe we could get it right this time around. So if we're serious about this, and I think Simon Harris would totally agree, let's take the VAT off the non-sweet drinks. Retail would be very, very happy
with
that.
What drinks are we talking about there?
Well, there's lots of drinks. There's water. There's 23% fat on water. I mean, does this make sense, lads?
It's true. It always fascinates me when you go somewhere on the continent and the price of a bottle of water compared to.
But we're paying 23%. So we were trying to encourage people to drink non-sweet drinks, and we charge 23% fat on water, iced tea.
You could go down a whole other road here.
But I mean, look, you know, this is where we need government to be creative, not to be just following, doing the same old thing year in, year out. We need to think outside the box. You know, listen, does all us entrepreneurs be very, very happy to spend a day with them and tell them how to run?
At the same time, it does look like he isn't going to hike the price of alcohol, which will be eye-catching for people as well. That
it's a lot of sugar just and alcohol.
An aversion to increasing the price of alcohol, Michael.
That's... maybe for once.
Now, Niall will be more than a two can a day man there, but
just slur on the character.
No, there is a point where the amount of tax that it does present a diminishing returns. We have a tourism industry again. We know that's going to be hit by Brexit also, and it's been hit by the sterling. So you know, we don't need to be increasing our prices for drink and for food right now.
Deal with minimum pricing, fine. Yeah, that's one thing. But absolutely. It's to be tackling pubs, and particularly rural pubs that are the heart of what our tourism industry is about, as Michael's suggesting there. And I can't see him putting any money on the price for a pint. I think both Pascal and Leo like a pint as well, by the way.
Okay, well, we're running short on time, but I want to play a little game of fantasy budget around the table. And I'll start with the regulars. That'll give Sarah and Michael a little more time to think of this. But I want to know if there was one thing, or maybe even two, that Pascal Donoghue could do in tomorrow's budget that you would like to see. What would it be, Niall?
I would like to see the introduction of a so-called bedroom tax for Dublin, because although the 9% VAT rate has very much worked and it was a recession measure, the fact of the matter is there is price gouging. Hotels are absolutely taking the expletive when it comes to customers in Dublin. And I would apply it just to hotels in Dublin, because something has to be done.
I think hotels in Killarney can charge a fair chunk as well.
Well, I don't think it's to the same degree. I think there's a particular problem in Dublin. That's why I think it's controversial. It's not going to happen. But it is, like Michael says there, it's a think outside the box measure. But this government doesn't do too much of that, I'm afraid.
Philip?
I suppose I'd like a stronger focus on tax reduction and less so of a focus on pensions. It's down to the fact that younger people don't really vote and aren't mobilised here, that they do get treated differently to older people because they vote more. And maybe if older people or younger people did vote a little bit more, they'd be treated more favourably in budgets, and there would be things more around maybe the minimum wage and maybe around better taxes.
Okay, Sarah.
I'm allowed two.
You can have two.
Okay, firstly, I mentioned a roadmap to the reduction in personal tax rates. So the income tax rates and capital gains tax too high. It's at 33% at the moment. Mightn't happen this year, but, you know, we do need a roadmap as to when it'll happen. And the second thing is the taxation of share awards. So the private sector, again, in Ireland are at a real disadvantage to the multinationals who are coming in. We don't have a tax efficient share award scheme in Ireland at the moment. We did have years ago, and the minister mentioned it last year that he would introduce it this year. So hopefully he'll mention something tomorrow.
I have one question before I come to you, Michael. I'll give you an extra minute to think there, but the because I suspect you might be struggling for just two, but the Sarah, I one thing I want to just quickly ask you, because we usually have politicians in here, we don't have experts, and they'll tell you whatever they're told to say by Leo or Pascal, but this idea of the PRSI and the USC being merged into one, what's that all about? How would that even work?
It's a mammoth task, because so you have USC, which is basically a tax, and you have PRSI, which is based on a contributory principle, and you basically you put money in and you get benefits out. So there are so many complexities. One, and the main one probably, is the USC represents 7% of the tax take at the minute. That's very difficult to eradicate. Secondly, two taxes are administered by different government departments, completely different limits, age limits, contributory levels for the two taxes. I think it'll take years to actually do it.
Okay,
how many years?
10.
we'll scratch that one.
So. I mean, all of your social welfare benefits, your pensions.
Will Leo still be Taoiseach?
Oh, well, we'll have to wait and see.
All right, Michael, your fantasy budget, you get to be finance minister, stand up and make a speech.
All right, very good. Well, look, I guess, uniquely so, I'm actually not going to look for any increase in any money or any financial benefits. But I would appeal to the government to sort of take their hands off the SME sector for the next 3 years, until we're out of the Brexit fog, because we don't know what sort of costs are going to be there. So, think twice when in bringing in regulations, and do we actually need those regulations, and try and give us support on, and tackle things like fraud. I mean, fraud is hitting every single company that I know of almost on a weekly basis, if not on some cases on a daily basis. And again, when we compare ourselves with our neighbours in the UK, you can have, if you have something the case against you, an attack on you, your treatment by the authorities in the UK is completely different. You get treatment from the authorities in the UK. You don't get treatment. You get a record number here in Ireland. So there's, insurance, fraud, all of these things can actually be done, tackled by government without any great cost to the Exchequer, without no cost, but a serious saving and benefit to the SME sector.
Okay, well, it literally is your moment, Michael, because we're going to let you have the last say on this one. We leave it there. There's lots more we could speculate on, everything from bereavement grants to prescription charges to medical cards. But we can go with that again all after the budget, because we have a post-budget special also with EY Ireland. But my thanks today to Niall O'Connor and Philip Ryan, of course, to Sarah Connellan and Michael Dawson from EY and One for All. Wasn't that bad, guys, was it?
Thanks
for coming in. Don't forget, we'll be back on Wednesday with our post-budget special.
You've been listening to a Floating Voter Budget Special in association with EY Ireland.